everybody. This is episode 385 of the Pixelated Sausage Podcast. I'm your host, Mark Kuznez, and today I will not be talking about anime. Oh, some of you are so happy. I'm looking at you, Beth, and even you, Jensen. I don't know why I called you Jensen and not John, like you're whatever. Weirdo is me. But I don't have any anime to talk about because I haven't watched anything new. I've watched following episodes for series, but I don't want to talk about them at this point. But, you know, things have surprised me and improved. And maybe I don't think anything has gotten worse with more viewings of episodes, but I'll get to that in a future thing. But today I just want to talk about some movies and some more Horizon Zero Dawn, because I've played a lot more of that, a lot. And I think I'll start with that. So I have now put in close to 30 hours, maybe. If I take away pause time, maybe I'd say, you know, 25 to 30 hours, roughly. And I'm at about 33% completion. And the first thing that just comes to mind whenever I think about Horizon Zero Dawn is just how incredibly beautiful it is. It is gorgeous. It is probably, well, it is definitely one of the best games I've played. And it might be, I just say it's one of the best games I've played. No, that's not what I mean. It is one of the most beautiful games I've ever played, if not the most beautiful. I'm sure there are games on PC that would make it, that would top it, but I don't play games primarily on PC, and I don't know if I own anything that could dethrone it. Maybe The Witcher 3 with everything turned on would beat it out, but who cares about all that? We're talking about Horizon Zero Dawn and just how pretty. I mean, it is gorgeous. The environments are varied enough. You have your desert areas. I mean, it's typical stuff. You have your desert areas, your snowy areas, your more foresty areas, and they all look great. And the lighting is especially fantastic, especially when the sun is rising or setting and you just get that nice glow and color just emanating off everything. It's a very, very pretty game, and I haven't run into any technical issues, which is also impressive given that my memory tells me, at least with their first two games, I don't know if every Killzone game had issues, but Guerrilla Games did have a tendency to make games that were very visually not all beautiful. I mean, you wouldn't call Killzone beautiful. It's kind of grimy and dirty, but they were all technically impressive, you know, maybe from like a polygonal count or whatever, but they also had their technical issues as well. And, you know, they might have frame rate drops or stuff like that, but so far, and I'm running on a OG PS4, it hasn't had any issues with frame rate. It's run really smoothly. It's always looked incredible. I don't notice any kind of visual bugs or anything. So yeah, it is a very, very, very pretty game. And then another surprising thing, not that I should say another surprising thing, like it was surprising that it looked as good as it did, because I already knew that going in. That's one thing that everyone knew when they saw demos and videos of it. But I actually kind of dig the story. I just, not that long ago, passed the point, and there'll be some minor spoilers, but I think everyone knows this at this point. I just passed the point where you get to this lab area, and you find out that you share whatever, something with this woman, and that she's from many, 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 many years ago. And they haven't made it clear yet in the game, but I already heard this before I ever played the game, that it takes place in, I don't know, like Idaho or something. I think it's a more prominent city than and state than Idaho, but it takes place somewhere in America, and it's just, you know, things have really gotten out of hand or whatever. The robot apocalypse truly happened, and things just went wacky. I don't know, but I think the story is surprisingly decent. It's not the most engaging story, but it's enough to keep me interested and wanting to keep pushing forward and finding out what exactly is going on. And the voice acting, especially from the main characters, is all pretty good. Some of the side characters are a bit cheesy and hammy, but the main cast is all pretty good. And yeah, I am enjoying the story more than I thought I would, because in a lot of open world games, I kind of just throw away the story. But I'm enjoying it a decent amount. As much as I enjoyed the story in Tomb Raider, which I don't know what that says, because people may be like, oh, I really like that. I thought the Tomb Raider stories were fine, but they didn't do much for me. I might go so far to say that I'm more interested in the Horizon story than the Tomb Raider story, because, I mean, I don't even really remember what the hell happened. I tweeted this out that I'm pretty sure I played Rise of the Tomb Raider. Don't remember a damn thing about it. I'm pretty sure the big, like, Samoan guy was with you. He's the only guy who came back from the first game. But I don't remember anything else. I remember the first game a lot more, and maybe that's because I played it twice. But Rise of the Tomb Raider, I don't remember anything. I don't know who the bad guy was. Was it a guy? Was it a thing? Was it a being? I don't know. I don't remember anything. I don't even really remember what the hell. Like, I don't remember the environments or anything. But I remember Tomb Raider so well. But Rise, it's a complete blank. But I know I played it. I'm pretty sure I played it. Anyway, Horizon Zero Dawn, quality story. And then I think I commented that I, off of the first few hours of both Horizon and Zelda, that I preferred Horizon. And that remains true. And I think part of the reason why I prefer Horizon is because, I mean, one, it's just very, very pretty, and I like that about it, and it has these more RPG elements of upgrading your characters and adding skill points and all that kind of jazz, which I like. But the combat and the gameplay, I think, is just way more fun and has more depth to it, and it's just more fun in general to play. I think the combat in Zelda is awful and really shallow, and I don't like it at all. There's fun to be had in Zelda if you use your little powers, like your telekinesis thing and stuff like that, but I didn't really find that to be all that fluid in terms of combat and all that. And also, like, the thing where I think Zelda would top Horizon or any game like this is just in how the environment and the world is a lot more kind of, it's not that it's destructible, or it's just crazy things could happen that could just happen unbeknownst to you. Like, I was fighting an enemy and I was running away, I threw a bomb and then I blew it up, it ended up rolling next to a tree, and while I was running away and being chased by the enemy, the tree that was blown up ended up falling on the enemy. I didn't plan that. It just happened. And that was really, really cool. But that's not something that always happens. You know, there are many times where I'd get into an encounter and it would just be this really, really boring, samey combat experience. And in Horizon, there's more depth and strategy to it, in that, you know, various robots will be weak to certain elements, strong to others. They'll have certain armor bits that you can shoot off and that it'll expose a weak point, and you have various abilities that you will earn by upgrading your character. Alloy, I think that's how they pronounce it. But I just have a lot more fun with the gameplay. The one thing that I wish was in Horizon, and I think this has been said about a lot, or said from a lot of people, regarding Zelda and other open world games, or maybe just games in general. The one thing I miss most of all is the ability to just freely climb on anything. That is the one thing from Zelda that is just, I don't want to say it's a genius because it's so simple, but it is such a great thing to have in the game, because it, one, allows you, and, you know, they have to build a world then that is aware of this ability that you could freely just go anywhere, because if they didn't, then there'd be a lot of chances of getting stuck in places or stuff like that. But the ability to just freely climb anywhere up to a point, you know, you have your stamina gauge, it makes you feel like you're more free than you are in other games, because you're not limited to only being able to climb on these designated parts of mountains or buildings or whatever that are highlighted with a color, because clearly everything in a natural environment or buildings will have areas that you can climb, and they will make sure to color them so you know that. And that is the case in Horizon, which is a bit frustrating, because there are times where I am able to jump up to something where I'd be able to grab on the ledge. It's not too high, but it's not a designated spot for me to grab onto, so I'm unable to do it, and I have to, you know, follow that path for however many feet until I reach a designated point to climb up and get out of a hole or something. And that is just frustrating, because I would jump around, not be able to climb, not be able to grab on anything, and I just want to get out of something, and I have to wait until I reach a point that is designated as a spot where I can climb. And after playing Zelda, that is the one thing where it's like, damn, I wish this was Zelda in that respect. And I really hope more games in the future make note of that and try to implement it in their games, because that really is, that is the standout gameplay mechanic for Zelda that I can really think of. Because the unpredictability of how combat scenarios could play out and stuff like that isn't new to Zelda, in that if you played Red Faction Guerrilla, there's a lot of times where you blow up a building and then it would fall on people, or, you know, that had a lot more of that than Zelda did, because it's a game that's built specifically around destructibility and crazy things happening and just all of that. And that, man, why is that game not backwards compatible? I'm guessing it has something to do with the rights and THQ and all this kind of jazz, but other games from that era have hit backwards compatibility, like I think Darksiders. I think while they remastered both games for this current gen, the old ones are still, they are available through backwards compatibility on Xbox One. So I'm still hoping that Red Faction Guerrilla at some point is backward compatible, because that is one of the games that I want more than anything else. And I don't know what the issue is. I don't think there was any kind of like licensed music in it, but yeah. So, continuing with Horizon Zero Dawn, I really like the way it plays. I'm enjoying the story enough. I think it's gorgeous. All that said, there is a problem, and that problem is that it is still an open-world game, and it gets repetitive, and it doesn't have that much variety in terms of side missions and all that. And now, right now, I'm getting a little bit burnt out, having played so much of it and focused only on it, having played nothing else. I'm happy about that I managed to do that. I feel good with myself for not going off on multiple gaming tangents and just playing a whole bunch of other games. But the side missions aren't all that exciting. There are these ones where you are investigating stuff, so then you get to an area, you scan it with your detective mode ability, and you find something, then you select a trail and you follow that trail to another area, investigate, find another trail, continue, and you keep doing that. And these side missions go on for way longer than I feel like they should, because I've gone on ones where it's like I get to an area 5 or 6 times and then just keep following these trails between each area, and it's incredibly boring, and it all leads to typically running, getting to a point where you run into some robots and you have to kill them to either save someone or collect something or whatever, and then you return to whoever gave you the mission. I didn't even say your stupid name, Alexa. Shut up. The magic door? What? Do I want the magic door? What are you talking about? The magic door? What the fuck are you? Alexa, shut up. Are you shutting up? Stop it. Whatever you're doing, don't go through the magic door. I don't know what the hell that is. Is this some kind of inside thing with, I don't want to say its name. I hope you enjoy that, podcast listeners. Kind of lost my train of thought. Yeah, these trail missions where you're just following these investigations, then you run into a group of robots, you kill them, save someone, collect something, return to whoever gave you the quest. What are you doing? What are you doing, Alexa?
I'm not quite sure how to help you with
that. I'm not quite sure what you're doing, so please shut up. Am I saying something that sounds like its name and not realizing it? This is annoying the crap out of me. So yeah, there are those missions. Now, what the hell is going on? My Xbox just turned on, and it's only supposed to turn on when I press the controller. What is going on in my house? Did the thing from Amazon turn it on somehow? I'm freaking out. Are the robots coming to get me because I'm talking about them in the game? I'm genuinely freaking out right now because things are just, so other than that, you have like these bandit camps that you clear out and they'll have prisoners and you save, and then you free those bandit camps and they'll have fast travel points you can get to, and typically merchants there, and there's this guy Nil who's at all of them and he's like, hey, go to the bandit camp, and after you do one and you're like, I don't want you to help me, he's like, well, forget it. I'm going to keep helping you whether you like it or not. And he doesn't do anything unless you get caught or you get seen, and then he'll help fight, though the friendly AI is never really that great. But one annoying thing about those side missions is that I don't know if those are considered side missions or just, well, they're their own category, but you don't get your experience for them until you talk to Nil again. Clearing out the bandit camp does nothing. I realized that after I cleared out 3. And I didn't really pay attention to whether or not I was getting my XP. But then I looked in the bandit camp area, and it's like, every one of those missions wasn't complete. It's like, now go talk to Nil. Go talk to Nil. Go talk to Nil. And just fast travel to the closest thing. Which, fast traveling is nice. At first, it seems kind of annoying that you need to craft an item to do it. But quickly you'll learn that the resources it costs to make those is not expensive, doesn't require rare items, and fairly early on you will be able to purchase an item that will just let you freely fast travel without having to use any resources. So that's just a note, a little side note. But yeah, you got those side missions, and then other than that, I just think you might have some basic kind of, not fetch questy things, but I can't really think of anything other than that. And then the thing that makes it a problem in terms of variety and just feeling really samey and why I'm kind of burning out is that the main missions aren't all that different from the side missions. They might be slightly more elaborate and have bits of story sewn in to them here and there. Well, not here and there, but you know, you'll get a lot of story with some cutscenes and then dialogue bits and all this kind of jazz. But for the most part, they don't feel all that much bigger or grander or more special than the side missions. And that's what makes it a bit frustrating, or makes it that I'm getting a little bit burnt out on the game, because I'm not getting these exciting, huge, bombastic main missions to rejuvenate me in between all of the side missions and, you know, just general exploration and stuff like that I'm doing a lot of. So I'm just kind of, you know, getting a little bit tired of the game. And I'm also just kind of getting burnt out on, and I've come to the point where I don't have many resource spots left, but I am someone who, in open world games and ones where you collect resources to craft things, I can so easily going on little tangents in my path when I'm heading towards an objective. I will collect a resource. I'll see like some little twigs and I'll pick them up. And then there's another thing that's just a few feet further away, another resource, and then I'll go grab that. And then there's another one that I see and then I go grab that. And then eventually I'm like 1,000 feet away from my objective and I'm like, well, I should probably turn around and go back. And then I head back. And then again, I find something that's, oh, there's another resource. I'll go get it. You know, on my way back to where I was going. And then I find another thing and I go and I go. And I've wasted hours doing that. I've got like 3,000 bits of wood. And yeah, I'm definitely not in need of any kind of resource at this point because I can make so many arrows that I will never run out of them. And I can make, you know, all the fire. I can make whatever I want. No problem. I'm almost finished max crafting all of my various inventory things, whatever my upgrades. But, I am really, really liking it, despite getting a little bit burnt out because of general, typical open world problems, you know, that is not unique to Horizon. But if you have a PS4 and you somehow haven't played it yet, I highly recommend picking it up because it is one of the best PS4 games I've played. It's probably the best because the only other one that is in the running for me, having not played that many PS4 exclusives, would be Ratchet & Clank because I adored that game. I had so much fun with it. But then I look at it and I think, you know, they did change things up more than I think some people might have expected, but it still is a remake, essentially, of the first game with, you know, various changes. And Horizon is its own thing, and it's also just so great to see something fresh and new from Guerrilla Games. So I'd probably give the edge to Horizon, but, you know, I have to wait, finish it, see how everything plays out, and how, you know, maybe the story will take a huge nosedive, I don't know. But, yeah, I'm really, really loving it. You know, and I've played Uncharted 4, whatever, fine. Persona 5 was a huge disappointment. And then I feel like, no, I played Until Dawn, which definitely isn't in the running. And The Order 1886 or whatever it was, awful. What other exclusive have I played? Is that it? That can't be it, can it? Well, no, I mean, it could be it very well. And I'm trying to think of specifically big releases, not any kind of indies. I don't know. That might be it. There could be something I'm missing, but I'm only missing it because I don't really care. Don't think highly enough of it. But yeah. So that's Horizon Zero Dawn. I might talk about it again if something changes, but probably I don't think I'll have much new or much more to say about it. So yeah. If you have a PS4, definitely pick it up because it is one of the best games on the system, if not the best. And that's awesome to say. It's also the game, the world. Like, I'm playing it now and thinking about the movie Brave, and I'm just like, this is so much better than Brave, even though they're very different because Brave didn't take place in Idaho and didn't have any robots in it. But it started a ginger warrior, and that's all that matters. Moving on to some movies that I've watched, some old ones. I want to start with one that I really, 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 really didn't like first and just get it out of the way. We Were Soldiers, which is based on a book, We Were Soldiers Once and Young, which is a book about the true story of the Battle of the Drang in 1965, which basically set things. It was basically the battle that made Vietnam become what Vietnam ended up being. And this is a movie based on that book. starring Mel Gibson and a bunch of other familiar faces. I think Greg Kinnear was in it. You have Chris Klein from American Pie fame, Sam Elliott, Kerry Russell. There was a very young, what's his face? John Hamm, I believe, in it. Or maybe that was something else. The guy from the Marvel movies and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., whatever his name is. The guy people like, so he got his TV show after they killed him in Avengers. But he didn't really die. Or he did, and he's a robot now. I don't know. But it is an awful movie. I feel like I've read the book a long time ago. I don't remember. But the movie is so incredibly overly sappy and hokey and manipulative to an extent. And religious, and it's just full of awful writing. It's one of the worst scripts I've gotten to endure in a while. The line that just sticks out, and this is like, I was already kind of not feeling it right from the get-go, but once I hit this line, which was delivered by Chris Klein of all people, I was completely out of it, and I was gone, and I was done with it. I'm like, this is a piece of garbage. I hate everything about this movie. But it's a line that goes a little something like this. I know that God has a plan for me. I just hope it's to help protect orphans, not make any. Because Chris Klein and his wife built houses for orphans. And so when he's in the church after his wife gives birth, he's talking to Mel Gibson, and then he gives that wonderful line. And I kind of paused when I heard it, and I was like, did he just say what I think he said? And he did, and it was terrible, and ugh. But, the whole thing is just horribly sappy and hokey and stereotypical and unoriginal, uninspired, full of these ridiculous, stupid, slow-motion death scenes and stupid-looking deaths in the way they're shot and framed. And everything about it is just... it feels like a made-for-TV movie that somehow got a huge budget and a very good cast, and then they couldn't manage to make anything other than the made-for-TV crap that it is. Moving on. I finally watched Gone with the Wind, and when I started it, I thought it was just shy of 3 hours, not 4 hours. So, that was, I mean, either way, it was going to be a long time, but I think Gone with the Wind, at this point, is a movie buff's movie. It is a movie for lovers of film, and the medium, and cinematography, and the way things are shot, and framed and all that kind of stuff, because story-wise, I didn't really like it all that much, in part because, you know, there's racism in it, and I mean, just the way they handle slavery and the way they're kind of representing it and showing it and the way characters act in it and say things that try to make it, almost feels like it's trying to be apologetic towards the South, and they're like, you know, the South wasn't really all that bad. Didn't really like that all that much. But the biggest part of the thing is that I think Starlet is a horrible, horrible person. She's an incredibly selfish, mean bitch. And I do not like her. Which, it wasn't worth the 4 hours I sat through watching it. But at the end of the movie, when Clark Gable, Butler, says, frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn, that felt so good. It was like, yes, finally she gets, like, it's so great to see her get just that verbal slap in the face. It's like, you know what, I don't give a shit anymore. I'm done with you. I've been here this whole time. I've loved you for all this time. Like, there's also, you know, whatever, this is spoilers for anyone who still hasn't seen it and cares. when their daughter dies the same way her father died, falling off the horse. I laughed. I thought that was hilarious. I know it's supposed to be taken as serious and really sad and everything, but I was like, I mean, whoever the stunt double or whatever, they got, like, I don't know if it was a dummy or whatever, to do the fall. It was just so funny the way she fell and the fact that she died that way. It's so stupid. But, yeah. I don't know if I'll ever watch it again because it is so long and I don't really like the story. And Scarlett is so nerve-wracking and frustrating and grating to endure for all that time because she is such an awful person. Such an awful person. I think it is incredibly well shot and very, very pretty to just look at a lot of the time. It is a Hollywood-ass Hollywood movie, maybe the most Hollywood movie ever made, and just how grand it is. That it, you know, even compared to movies made these days, there's just something about it that feels very epic and feels larger than life. And for people who are fans of that and just like these kind of grand scale things that movies can give you, you know, making you just experience this incredibly grand story on this grand scale, there is that to enjoy in it. But, you know, it's still a very long movie, even if you, you know, watch the first half and then watch the second half at another time. And then last thing I'll talk about is, and I haven't finished it, I'm about like 10 or so minutes away from finishing it, but I finally started watching my first Alfred Hitchcock movie, and I went with North by Northwest, and while I haven't finished it yet, I can safely say I think it is a fantastic movie. It is really, really good. I'm also happy that the Blu-ray transfer is pretty good as well, so it's been a very pretty movie to look at as well. I love the painted backgrounds in scenes that just they're really well done, and they're just very, very well painted and give it this there's something about the painted backgrounds that are just like it makes it, I don't know how to describe it, because it just is. I don't want to say it makes it feel a bit surreal, but they're very, very well done. And then the story, I mean, I'm very interested to see how it ends and what the deal is, if we get an explanation or not. But I'm really, really liking it. I think it's a very well told story. Very well written, well acted. It's just, it's a very, very enjoyable mystery with some great acting. And I mentioned this on Twitter that I started watching it today, and it was really, really weird when Martin Landau showed up in the movie, having just passed away. And I was like, oh, this is weird. I had no idea he was in it. And I just happened to decide to start watching it today, the day after he passed. So that was a bit odd. But it's really, really good. And it has me hopeful for future Hitchcock movies. Because I think one of the reasons why I never saw his stuff before is because I thought, I guess I thought his stuff, he did a lot of horror things that I didn't like, or just, I guess there's a difference between thriller and horror, and he's more of a thriller guy. And I think I might actually really, really like a lot of his stuff, if a lot of it is like North by Northwest. But yeah, that's been a very enjoyable thing, especially watching that after the Gone with the Wind marathon of enduring that awful, awful woman. But that will do it for today's episode, which was full of tangents, holy poop, and a bunch of other nonsense, and hopefully it's all come together into somewhat of an enjoyable listen if you've managed this far. Also, This goes out to John, aka Lunchbox. The more I think about Crimson Tide, the more I feel like it is the tombstone of sub movies, and that it may not be the most well written, but it has an incredible cast, all of whom give incredible performances, and it's just incredibly fun. Like, it's just, it's such a fun movie, and that's what Tombstone is a movie that I watched and I had so much fun with, and I loved all the characters and the acting, and I just wanted to watch it again, and that's how I felt immediately after finishing Crimson Tide. And I watched it, I just kind of get these desires and the feeling to watch it again every now and again ever since, because it is so good, and it's so good. It is so good. Everyone should watch Crimson Tide. If you don't like Crimson Tide, I don't know, something wrong with you. Anyway, once again, I'm your host, Mark Kuznez. Y'all can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Xbox Live, Monomylist, and Steam at PX Sausage. That is at PX Sausage on PSN. I am the Kush 3. The site is, of course, pixelatedsausage.com, where you can find this podcast, Pixelated Radio, and the Pixelated Paranormal Podcast, along with the art I do, which if you'd like to see in one fancy schmancy place, you can go over to pxsart.com and check it out there, which will also give you links to where you can get all the art you could ever want in print format. And then if you'd like to support the site in general and everything we do, go over to patreon.com/pxs and chip in a buck or two every month that away. And away I will go. What the hell was that? But yeah, I'm out of here. So hope you all are having a good start to your week and that it gets better and better and better, and that hopefully it's not too hot where you are, because it's supposed to start getting hot at least tomorrow, and I don't like that. So I'm gonna go say bye.